The scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 12. No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward. And the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. And help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes.
Well, good morning. As I shared at the beginning, this is a Mission Ministries weekend. This is the second year in a row where we've decided to take a little time and help everyone understand the many ways that Glenmar is involved in serving the world. So many of you are involved in some of the many ministries here at the church, but we feel like people don't often get to hear the breadth of ministries that people connect with through Glenmar. Probably for the last 20 years or so, I've kind of become known as the mission trip guy at Glenmar because of my role in the youth ministry and doing youth mission trips. Mission trips are one aspect of the mission ministries here at Glenmar, but they're just one portion. There are so many ways that people connect and serve the world through the mission ministries here at Glenmar that we want to make sure you all are aware of the opportunities and hearing how people have been transformed through their connection. Just some of the many ministries we have at Glenmar include things like our extreme fundraising ministry. Most people are aware of the gift cards that are sold before and after worship services, but beyond that, through registering shopper loyalty cards, through collecting things like printer cartridges, old cell phones, box tops, labels, things like that, Glenmar has generated over $250,000 in proceeds, which have gone towards supporting inner city and rural schools, mission trip scholarships, donations to mission trip host organizations, family accounts that are used to help pay for mission trips, and then a variety of ministry grants, including one just this past week for $1,000 to UMCOR in support of hurricane relief. We collect food quarterly, which support food closets all over the area, and yesterday we held our fifth annual Glenmar 5K in support of the Howard County Food Bank. In those 5 years, Glenmar's raised about $35,000 to support the food bank. We collect donations weekly of food and other items for grassroots, which has been going on for 4 years. For 16 years, Glenmar members have been preparing a meal at the grassroots shelter once a month. And then our Glenmar golf tournament and silent auction over the last 6 years have raised over $188,000 in support of the Ministry of Grassroots. Through Habitat for Humanity, which we've been involved with for well over 15 years, we have volunteers that work monthly up in Baltimore. We've completed over a dozen homes, worked on many, many more. And in addition, we've donated over $160,000 towards constructing homes. We're going to hear from T.J. Sprankel, who is involved with our Habitat ministry, about how this has changed his life.
T.J. Sprankel, a member of Glenmar for about 2 years now. When I was first looking for a church, I was hoping for a place where I could give back to the community without dedicating a bulk of time like I had done in my previous church. In March of 2016, I decided to try Habitat for Humanity, or H4H as I call it. Having never done anything like this before, I was unsure about what to expect. But the first day I realized I was not only in my element, I was called to serve others through this ministry. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature." It's God's will for us to serve in ministry. You know how our mission is praising God, growing disciples, and serving the world? Well, H4H's mission is similar. Seeking to put God's love into action, Habitat for Humanity brings people together to build homes, communities, and hope. In addition to demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ, one of H4H's principles is also to support sustainable and transformative development. That's what they have done for me, and I have witnessed transformation through others as well. I translate sustainable development as long-term growth. While I have been undertaking do-it-yourself projects most of my life, H4H teaches me new things every time I serve. It's also amazing how many times I need to do a particular home project, and H4H has the same one the week before, such as hanging a ceiling or landscaping. This enables me to learn from my experienced church members and H4H team prior to performing the same task at home. Transformative development could cover a wide range of conversion. We could change a community, a building, or a neighborhood. We can even transform our own homes. As I have been participating in our second Saturday of the month Habitat time slot, members of my own family have seen the benefits and have also signed up. My daughter worked with us for the first time just this month. My wife served with us at the Restore in Columbia. If you've never been there, it is truly amazing. H4H Restores are nonprofit home improvement stores that resell donated building materials, furniture, and appliances, similar to Home Depot, but at discount prices. 100% of the profits, again, 100% of the profits are invested right back in H4H. The contributions help to cover the cost of land acquisition, construction, and other operations. Restores also support a healthier planet. By recycling used items, H4H diverts millions of pounds of material from local landfills. I recently painted one of our bedrooms with recycled paint from there. Didn't turn out too bad, did it? In addition to transformative development covering homes and communities, it could also mean spiritual, physical, emotional, or mental growth. As Pastor Matt preached the last 3 weeks on race, religion, and politics, ironically, these topics are not our focus on building days. We are just unified Christians looking to serve others. That's part of the spiritual growth. Physically, we're doing manual labor from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, getting our physique in check. We provide emotional support to the homeowner, and we all learn together for mental transformation. Driven by the vision that everyone needs a decent place to live, H4H began in 1976 in southern Georgia. The Christian Housing Organization is now working in more than 1,400 communities throughout the U.S. and in more than 70 countries. Habitat homeowners help build their own homes alongside volunteers and pay affordable mortgages. Through financial support, volunteering, donating to Restore, or adding a voice to support affordable housing, everyone can help families achieve the strength, stability, and self-reliance they need to build better lives for themselves. There is nothing like watching the dedication of a new home. Makes you all warm and fuzzy inside. To learn more, go to habitat.org or contact Adrian Taylor, Don Wecker, or myself, TJ Sprankle. Don didn't know I was going to mention his name on here, but he asked me to do this video. So it's just a little return on investment.
One of the ways many of you have probably served the world is through our Wish Upon a Star ministry, which happens around Christmas time every year. Just this past year, Christmas of 2016, Glenmar supported 30 families for a combined total of 149 individuals, 99 of whom were children. And through gifts, grocery cards, and shoe certificates, Glenmar in total raised about $55,000 to help others enjoy Christmas. In a vein similar and yet not to Habitat for Humanity, Glenmar is involved with an organization called Help End Homelessness in Howard County. This is an organization that buys condos and refurbishes them and then provides housing for a formerly homeless family, serving the housing first motto. We own two units, and we are renting them out to families that were homeless at below market value, and we're working to acquire a third property. The Route 1 Day Center, Glenmar was instrumental in starting this ministry with grassroots about 9 years ago, and they've just moved into a brand new facility to better serve the clients of Howard County. Glenmar prepares and serves a hot meal there once a month. And then the Salvation Army Thrift Shop, it's open 10 days a month, and Glenmar supported that for years. We provide regular volunteers and financial contributions. PATH is an ecumenical association that focuses on issues of importance to Howard County residents. This year, the focus is on education and health, immigration, transit, and jobs. And here to talk about her involvement with PATH is Krista Camacho.
Hi, good morning, everyone. As DC mentioned, I am Krista Camacho, and I spend my Sundays in the Sunday school classroom. I'm part of the children's ministry. I've been working with Tammy Hampshire starting last year, and we had third graders receive their Bibles, and we took them through a journey of an introduction of the Bible last year. Many of our pastors visited the third graders. This year in fourth grade, we are providing an application of the Bible to the kids' lives. So last week we covered Noah, and we talked about what happens with the Noah story in our own lives, where we experienced we were underneath a tarp and we thought about what it would be like for Noah to have spent really over a year in that ark with all the animals and all the people, and then having to come out at the right time when the dove did not come back. And they exited, the kids, after a rainstorm and after the long wait, and we asked them to take construction paper, give them each a color of a strip to form a rainbow. And on that strip, we asked them to say what action they would contribute to the promise that God said, "This is the rainbow. I will not flood the whole world again. So what would be your action this week?" Well, I have to tell you that the same thing happens at home. I'm a mother of two, a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old, and the application of that rainbow applies to them too. How can we go outside of our own home and contribute to Howard County? Well, PATH is an organization that allows us to do that. PATH works with people of all ages and all religions, brings together people of faith from over 13 congregations. PATH has regular meetings. We have small groups that meet here where you can come and help explore current issues. On the next slide, I'm going to demonstrate for you many of the activities that have led to accomplishments or either underway. In 2016, PATH memberships developed a new agenda, forming stronger schools and affordable housing. After negotiations with county executive and county council, we now are working on 900 new affordable housing units in downtown Columbia. We also have been talking with the schools about reducing the time we spend on standardized testing. And in this current school year, there's less time testing. Also, we've been working to restore funding for 87 paraprofessionals. This year, there are more paraprofessionals in kindergarten, special education, and media centers. You can clap. These are great. PATH has also been able to fund the new diversity director position. This is an opportunity for PATH not only to continue the dialogue around diversity, because I believe if you bring in people of all backgrounds, all abilities, you're going to lead to innovation for Howard County. So PATH is working on a brand new diversity policy with our school system. PATH is also working with the Horizon Foundation and school leaders to look at access to healthy foods. My kids participated in a discussion on why you have to have less sugary drinks in school. PATH is looking to meet with people of around the community through their small discussions. There's talk right now about transportation. They have a survey out where they've interviewed 700 transit riders. They've also been able to bring about more transportation for Head Start programs. On the next slide, this is what we talked about at PATH's meeting last Tuesday night. My son Antonio and I heard from Dr. Matriano and Dr. Bess Altwerger all about how they are committed to talking with our community about healthier breakfasts, vegetarian options with less pizza at lunchtime, and we're also going to be working on after-school programming. I'm a working mom. I want my kids to be educated while I'm at work, and there will be scholarships piloted coming in the future. PATH is recommending that these pilots begin in 2018. I would also like to see more expansion of foreign languages in elementary school as well in after care programs. Be great to have more Spanish and Chinese and other languages as well. I also see that it's time for a survey in the schools for accessibility of the buildings as well as restrooms for the students as well as the visitors and the teachers that work there. I would like to go to the next slide where we talk about the importance of getting out the vote. Over the last 10 years in Howard County, there's been less participation in a number of precincts. So with the 10,000 numbers of decline in attendance and voting, the next slide demonstrates for you that there's importance for us to get out and talk to people that are not participating in our community and ask them to think about what it means to have health care, more transportation, access to community programs for people who may be immigrants to Howard County. What are the concerns of Howard County? And I would say that this comes together with three C's for success. We need to collaborate, coordinate, and communicate. I hope you'll talk more with PATH folks.
When it comes to reaching out to our community, Glenmar started a new ministry 3 years ago with our Day of Service. In the past 3 year one-day events, we've had roughly 1,700 people volunteer to serve over 20 different ministry areas, including packaging over 83,000 meals for at-risk populations. Then we look at our youth and how the youth lead us as examples of serving the world. The 30-hour famine, Glenmar's participated for about 16 years and raised over $135,000 in support of World Vision. Green Team, which is a fundraising ministry that both youth and adults do yard work, they've donated 10% of their proceeds to charitable giving. They also helped collect over 60 kitchen appliances for the use by the people of Hurley this past year. Operation Christmas Child, Glenmar has collected about 1,600 shoebox gift packages over an 11-year period for children around the world. And then, you know, one of the areas I am fairly passionate for, mission trips. In the last 20 years, Glenmar has sponsored 102 mission trips to serve the world, working with 18 organizations, 16 different cities, 7 different foreign countries, 3,311 participants. Our next mission trip is 3 weeks from now, so there's still time to sign up to go to West Virginia if you're interested. Our latest mission trip that we did, our newest location, was in Baltimore City this summer, and here to share a little bit about her experiences with that is Ginny Okoronkwo.
Good morning. My name is Ginny Kano Okoronkwo, and I am a sophomore at Notre Dame Preparatory School. And I am here today to discuss my experience and transformation during the Baltimore Mission Camp. For those of you who don't know, the Baltimore Mission Trip is a week of participating in numerous service activities throughout the day. This was the first year Glenmore had ever done the Baltimore mission trip, so I'm grateful I had the chance to participate in it. First, we visited the Manna House, which is a nonprofit organization that helps hundreds of homeless individuals eat breakfast in the morning. I was asked numerous times why I was there or who I was with, and each time I answered proudly that I was with Glenmore Methodist Church. I was hit with this level of gratitude and thanks, but I didn't need it because being there in that moment, knowing these men, women, and children would have a nutritious meal was all I needed. But what really moved, inspired, and forced me to see the world in a new light was the Christian nonprofit organization called the Samaritan Woman, whose mission is to glorify God by seeking justice, reconciliation, and healing. They do this by operating a transitional and restorative shelter programs for women recovering from domestic human trafficking. They also inspire people inside and outside of the church to engage in combating domestic human trafficking through awareness, prevention, service, and advocacy, which is what Glenmore was a part of during the mission camp. We discussed the statistics, and I learned that trafficking of all kinds, but especially sex trafficking, starts early. Human trafficking doesn't discriminate. Victims can be any age, race, gender, or education level. In the United States and globally, about 77% of victims are female. I learned that girls my age and even younger were being taken from their homes. I realized even Howard County was dealing with this issue. After hearing the harsh truths of the world we live in, to say the least, I was surprised, sad, and angry. I was ignorant on the subject because trafficking didn't affect me directly. I allowed myself to ignore the fact it was happening, and so many individuals ignore problems today because it doesn't affect them or doesn't hurt them. And that is wrong. Pretending and ignoring is no longer acceptable. We need to educate adults and children on the sensitive subject. At Samaritan Woman, we pulled weeds, and as some of you know, that is not fun. But because I recognized in my heart gardening was keeping an organization that helps all these women stay safe, it was completely worth it. And I would not hesitate to revisit and help out in any way I can. That same day, Sean took my group on a tour of Baltimore. We drove through the nice parts of the city and the neighborhoods high in poverty. I went from hearing about human exploitation to seeing it in the streets. The poverty, drug abuse, and graffiti was a physical representation of the struggle, oppression, and harsh reality so many people live through. That same night, I explained to my mom the statistics and how challenging it is to be a woman and to remain safe today. This experience has raised my awareness and provoked me to think about how I can help now and in the future. If you ever have the chance, please research the Samaritan Woman and volunteer. Thank you and God bless.
Some of the ministries that Guinea and the others he'd worked with during the Baltimore Mission Camp include working at Ames Memorial, which is our sister church up in Sandtown. We assist there with their ongoing ministries and collect food and clothing and school supplies for their giveaways, as well as helping with their ongoing maintenance and repair. We worked at the Board of Child Care, which is the Baltimore Washington Conference's ministry for at-risk youth. We also worked at Little Flowers, which is where our college and career prep ministry is hosted, where volunteers work weekly with children and youth in Baltimore to help them reach their full potential. Glenmore is also involved with Bridges to Housing Stability. Some of you longtime members might recall it originally as Congregations Concerned for the Homeless. We still help today with their Hotter Than Thou Chili Cook-Off. We contribute annually from our budget to theirs. And the Cold Weather Shelter. Glenmore was the founding church that started the Cold Weather Shelter 14 years ago. We've hosted guests every year since. The reality is people can be involved in directly in hands-on ministry, but it also takes some behind-the-scenes TLC to make sure that these ministries happen. Brad Boyle is a member of the Glenmore Mission Board, and he's here to talk a little bit about that experience.
Good morning. As DC mentioned, my name is Brad Boyle. I've been a member at Glenmore for as long as I can remember, literally. I was baptized at the old building about 25 years ago. I was confirmed there about 10 years ago, and you guys still haven't run me out yet, so I'm doing all right. I've been involved with mission trips since I was an eighth grader in middle school, throughout college, and even now as a full-time employee at UMBC with their residential life department. And I'm positive that I've been doing mission work of some sort or another here at Glenmar even before DC showed up. So that's something. My family and I have always been involved in mission work of some sort here at Glenmar while we've been here. My dad, Rob Boyle, has been a part of the mission board as well for a while. And as an active participant in mission work, I never really thought about what goes on behind the scenes, as DC mentioned, in terms of planning a mission trip and planning mission activities here at the church. I always just signed up and went and did the work God needed us to do. When the Leadership Development Committee asked me to be on the mission board a couple years ago, I didn't really want to say yes because I just started a new job and I didn't want to complicate my schedule too much. But a few weeks passed, and they, you know, came back and asked again. And as I thought more about the mission trips I've done and being on mission board, I eventually said, okay. You know, God reminded, you know, kept bugging me, so I couldn't say no. As a member, or as a full-time employee, it's hard to take off 4 weeks in the summer to go on all the mission trips, as I sometimes did when I was a youth here at the church. So being a part of mission board helps me stay involved with missions throughout the entire year, which is something that God has been calling me to do since I graduated college and came back here. By being on mission board, I've learned how it connects members of the church together to serve God. Mission board primarily identifies new missions and service opportunities. It develops leaders for those mission opportunities. And it also does things like plan some budgets for organizations and all that fun administrative stuff. My involvement on the mission board not only solidified my passion for mission work, but gave the mission board a youthful perspective. I'm currently the youngest member of the mission board. I think I lower the average age by 10 or 20 years. And it's helped our team understand some of the views of our younger disciples, I think. As DC said, it takes some TLC and some administrative things to make missions happen. It's been a great honor to see some of those things happen over the past couple years while I've been involved. For example, in West Virginia this summer, where we went to help flood relief efforts, and we're going back in a few weeks, we were able to implement a new activity or mission. While we were there, I was able to use social media, use Facebook, to share our team's experiences about what we were doing and the people we were impacting and working with and learning from, and connecting our experiences there to the people back here in the church was a powerful thing, and it was great to let people know what we were doing so that they could hear and feel a part of that, what we're doing. Another example of the type of things that Mission Board helps start is on display this morning out in the gathering place. At our meeting last month, we talked about what we could do to help hurricane relief, and the flood buckets and supplies that need to be donated was something that came up, and we said, how are we going to do this? And we decided, let's promote it here this morning and collect buckets and then send them down. So those kind of mission, that administrative work and that planning is what the mission board does. Being asked to be on the mission board was something I never planned for, but God did. My excitement and passion for mission work is what the mission board is hoping to inspire in everyone here at the church. We want to grow new ministries and develop new leadership so that our goals for mission work move forward. It's been amazing to get to work as a member of the mission board. They say, you know, you don't want to see how the sausage is made. And while mission board isn't that ugly, we have our tough meetings where we have to make hard decisions, and we have some really good meetings where we get to really make an impact on how we're able to serve the world. So I'm looking forward to many more years of service and seeing many more young and old faces coming together to praise God, grow disciples, and serve the world. Thank you.
As T.J. Sprankle mentioned in his video about Habitat, I think the verse I want to refer to for Mission Ministry Sunday and all the mission ministries is Paul's admonition to the Romans that our lives are transformed by the renewing of our minds. I would say that I don't think minds can be renewed when we stay in the same places and interact with the same people all the time. I think our minds are renewed when we go to new places and we interact with new people, when we get out of our comfort zone and stretch ourselves to respond to God's calling. If you don't take away anything else from today's Mission Ministry Sunday, hear this. God calls us to be uncomfortable. That's how we renew our minds, by going and interacting with new people in new places. I hope you've heard of some ways to serve the world that you might not have been aware of before. I hope you've heard some stories of transformation. But most of all, I hope that you feel a little bit uncomfortable, which is God nudging you to take a step in faith to experience your own transformation. Amen.